2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season they must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Time for the message. Thank you, people of God. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 14, I read. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16 and last verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is Paul saying, we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, we talked about focus, our focus. And I said at the end of that program, this week we talk about consciousness of God's presence. Faith is all about consciousness of God's presence. The scriptures say, he who comes to God, he who comes to him, must know, must be aware that God is. I don't want to use the term exist. God is. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Take note of that verse. He who comes to God must be fully convinced in his heart that God exists, God is. And God is the rewarder of your faith, the rewarder of those who diligently, persistently, with all their heart and mind, seeking him. That's what the scripture says. I read what Paul said. Now Jesus came on earth. What is the purpose of God sending the Christ on this earth? Why did the Father send Jesus Christ in this earth? For what purpose? Since Adam fell into sin, since the relationship between God and man was destroyed, and man erred away from God, there was a barrier, an emptiness, a wall between God and man, separation. We saw from the fellowship in the garden after Adam fell into sin, they left the garden, they left God's presence. We saw what happened between Cain and Abel. We saw when Cain slaughtered his brother and God sent him far away from his presence. Man began to drift away from the presence of God, little by little, until he completely separated from God in air, in darkness. There's no consciousness of God. And it was painful to God. Genesis chapter 6. God was such in pain that his best friend, man, had decided to reject God, to reject his ways, and to live without God under the temptation of the devil that said, you will be like him. you will have knowledge. Mean you will not need God. You don't need any dependence on God. You will have knowledge. You become like Him, sufficient for yourself to live an independent life from God. Whereas man was created for the glory of God according to the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 6, God was grieved and He said, all the thoughts and intents of man are always towards evil. And God regretted creating human being, and we know what happened with the flood. Man became carnal, and that is where the issue. Man became driven by the fleshly tendencies. Man became led by his senses, what he sees in the natural, what he hears from people, what situation looks like, his feelings, his emotions. Whereas God created man to be a spiritual person, spiritually minded person. You heard what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man, the man driven by his senses, is human and sense earthly knowledge. That man cannot understand or accept or receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. Those things need to be spiritually discerned. Means, in other words, we must be spiritually inclined to be able to perceive the things of the Spirit. It takes revelation. And Paul said in verse 16, the spiritual man judges all things, whether natural or spiritual. Why? We have the mind of Christ. Jesus came and said this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What's the meaning of that statement of Christ? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Means He invites everybody to embrace Him by following the way, the narrow way, that leads to the truth, the divine truth that sets you free. God become your Father. Means I am the way back to God. I am the way from darkness to the light. I am the way from the powers of darkness to the power of God. If you come to me, there is a promise of God, inheritance of the saints, the inheritance of the Spirit, and you become born again, and God become your Father, and the relationship between God and man become an intimate relationship, intimacy. Means communion with God, fellowship with God, relationship with God starts from our union with Jesus Christ. That's the purpose He came, to restore the relationship, the fellowship, the intimacy between God and man, heart to heart. That's what the Christ has come to do. That's the purpose of the gospel, the message of reconciling man to his Creator. The greatest promise, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, have eternal life. Eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. What is eternal life? The life of God begins to be manifested in you. The nature of God comes to you. So when we say we accept Jesus, it's not a religious acceptance or intellectual or mental acceptance. Accepting Jesus is to accept the nature of God. Accepting Jesus is to become partaker of His divine holiness. Accepting Him is to accept God, the Holy Spirit, abide in you. You become a recreated spirit, born again, born of God, born of the Spirit, a man of the Spirit. Being in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. That's what the Christ has come to do. That's the gospel, the true gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the Son of God, as the Bible calls it. Every other thing is secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing shall be given to you. I don't know any other gospel apart from this one. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The disciple asked, Lord, how should we pray? He said, Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus is talking about relationship with God as a father. The kingdom of God on earth means God's presence on earth, fellowship with God in spirit and in truth, right from here in the earth. The kingdom of God inside of you, within you. Luke chapter 17, 20, 21. Colossians 1, 26, 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is no more a barrier. At the cross, Jesus paid a penalty to remove the wall of hostility between God and man. Jesus came to remove the hindrances of the human nature, to die to sin, and to create a new man, a recreated spirit. By his resurrection from the dead, if you believe in him, when the Holy Ghost comes, God will give you a new heart. Heart means new spirit, a new conscience. What is new is inside of you. Go and read Ezekiel chapter 36. I will sanctify my name by the truth. I will give you a new heart. I will remove the heart of stone. Heart of stone means a heart that is dead. A heart that can't hear from God, can't feel nothing, insensitive, dead. I will give you the heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit inside of you. Holy Ghost will dwell inside of you. And you become one with God in intimacy, heart to heart. Deep inside of you is God, Christ, the hope of glory. Deep inside of you, the dwelling place of God in spirit. You become the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, walking with God. That is the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every other thing is secondary. This is the heart of the matter about Jesus. That's the reason he died for. That's the reason he rose from the dead for, to give you newness of life. That's the reason he went back to the Father. Why? To send you the Holy Spirit to make you born again. John 16, 7. When he said to the disciple, I'm going back to my father, and they were sad. It is better for you to go to the Father. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. The Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He is with you. He will dwell in you. When he said the world means those who don't believe, those who reject God's way, will not know him, because his ways are in his word. Those who chose his word, those who embrace God's kind of lifestyle, those who turn their heart to God will receive the promise of heaven and be reconciled with God, walking with God on earth. That's what the apostles of old lived and manifested in their life in the real practical way. Go and read Acts chapter 6, Acts of Apostles. We are called, all of us, to embrace God's kind of lifestyle of faith. My righteous shall live by faith. You are called to have an intimate relationship with God. That's what the Christ has come to do. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what he said to them, relationship with God. Is it possible for a human being on this earth to have a relationship with God in spirit and in truth? Is it a philosophy? Is it something we think like this? Is it not a theory? Is it a truth or just a theory or a philosophy? Is it a reality? When you read your Bible historically, you say, oh, these people were the past. But today, whatever Jesus has come to do, the gospel, the message of the gospel is the message of now. It's a time of nations. We are in the dispensation of God's grace. The promise is for now. God has not withdrawn his word. He has not canceled his word. The word of Christ, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It's beyond religious. It's relationship with every human being who yearns for it in spirit and in truth. Whoever you are, whatever you must have done, whatever does not matter. What matters is what Christ has done at the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says, whenever a person, a human being, turns his heart to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Mean, what was preventing man to hear from God, to see God, to relate with him, that veil is taken by Christ. And through the Spirit of God, Ephesians 2:18, through Christ, we have access to God by his Spirit. Let's go back to the Bible to see the reality of God's promises of relationship. The main thing about being a Christian is not the work we do. It's not the work of relationship or rituals we do. Not the religious work we do. But the relationship we maintain with God and the atmosphere of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit. I repeat. The core message of the gospel, the core message of the heart of God, the gospel of Jesus, is not the works we do, but the relationship we maintain with God in spirit and in truth, and the atmosphere of God's presence. Mean it is possible to be conscious of the presence of God right on earth. How can we be conscious of God while we are living in the natural world? The Bible says we have a spirit, a recreated spirit. With our spirit, with our heart, we have a conscience, the communication point, contact point with God who is spirit. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "Woman, the time has come that you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in the temple of Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know." It takes salvation to truly know who God. What is salvation? Salvation is the revelation of the glory of God. To be saved, you have the revelation of the glory of God. When the glory of God comes upon you, when the Spirit of God and glory, as Peter called him, comes upon you, the reality of salvation becomes evident. The presence of God comes. Consciousness of God comes. Intimacy, relationship with God become real. Your conscience begin to sense the presence of God. You begin to perceive the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. You begin to have relationship with God in the Spirit. As Paul said, be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Were they dreaming? Were they telling stories? Peter said, it is not by taking tales that we told you about the gospel of Jesus, but we heard the voice of the Father in the holy mountain. Peter was there and wrote it in 2 Peter that I was there when I heard the voice of the majesty of the Father from heaven. This is my beloved son. Peter was the eyewitness of this and he wrote it. We have in the Bible. Now, I want to take some example to tell you we have heroes of faith. People that lived on this earth. They had father, they had mother. They are human beings like all we are, man of flesh, man of blood, who lived on this earth, who was born, lived, and left this earth. And they had a genuine relationship with God, according to the scriptures, through the Spirit of God, who gave them supernatural ability. They entered the presence of God. They talked with God. They heard from God. They were sent by God, and they sent his message to the whole world today. Prophets, anointed people, led by the Spirit. 2 Peter said, chapter 1, 21, that no prophecy of the scriptures has ever come by the will of a man, but led by the Holy Ghost. Holy men, holy prophets were led by the Holy Ghost to send the message that came from heaven. That's the prophet we know in the Bible. Is it possible to experience God in reality? Jesus came on earth as a human being. He became a flesh. He died on the cross, not for himself, but for you and I. But something extraordinary happened. He resurrected on the third day. And he appeared to witnesses chosen by God. He appeared to the apostles of old. They saw him. And they wrote it in the Bible. And Peter testified to it. Paul testified to it. Everybody, they saw him and become his witnesses. That's the message we receive today. If God is not alive, mean miracles, signs, wonders, praying, the hand of God, destiny, mean nothing, but glory be to God. Jesus is alive. The purpose of Christ is to create his, a consciousness of God's presence. Hallelujah. This means, my brother, my sister, father and mother watching me, it is absolutely possible, according to the Bible, for you to have the consciousness of the presence of God in your life. The problem is not from God's side. The problem is on our side. God has done everything to bring the reality of relationship with God and man. God has done his role. He has sent his son for you. Jesus came with a message, good news. Come back to God. Here I am. I'm going to die for you to pay the penalty. Whatever you must have done, even if your own conscience is accusing you, come to me. God never sent me to judge anyone. He sent me to bring salvation. Whoever believes, free gift. You don't need to do anything. Just believe. That's why I came. Believe in the one whom he sent. That's the message of Christ. Reconciliation, forgiveness, eternal life, absolutely free. All it is asked is to believe and to desire it. God has done everything. All you need is to believe. So the hindrance is on our side. There's nothing God can do. God can never force a human being into faith. Never, and he will never do so. God will never violate your conscience. Never, ever. Because faith is a conviction that must come from you. His part is to play the role. Jesus came, went to the cross, died for you, went to heaven, offered a free gift to those who believe. That is it. Who has believed our report? To him has the hand of the Lord been revealed. Isaiah 53. God say, I'm about to do something new. When it comes, who will believe it? It's so simple, so easy. But that's the grace of God. That's what Jesus came to do. When he rose from the dead, he met the disciples and said, hey, here I am. See me. I'm going to my Father. I will send the promise of heaven to you. The only promise of God. The only one of the Bible. Righteousness, the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is not looking for a slave. You are not a slave. God is not looking for a servant. You are more than that. God is looking for a friend. And more of that, God is looking for a son and daughter. He wants to build a family. God wants to build a family, sons and daughters of God. That's the meaning of the church. The church is those who are saved. The church is those who are born again, that have fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. Call God Father, and they are sons and daughters of God. Relationship under the power of the Holy Spirit in righteousness and truth. The heart of the gospel, you must be born again. The heart of the gospel is new wine into new wineskin. God came to make all things new. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. How can we enter the presence of God in the gospel of Christ? Relationship with God is not on the outside. We have explained this so many times. On the outside is sense knowledge. On the outside is religious acts and deeds and rituals. Those times of rituals are over. The time has come, as Jesus said to the Samaritan, you will worship God neither in the temple nor in this mountain, but you worship God in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. How can a man be set or a woman be set to relate with God in spirit and in truth? That's the question. That's the meaning. I mean, we don't believe Jesus for material things. We don't believe for earthly things. We believe for eternal things, for life after life. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 2. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If I go there, I will prepare a place for you. That's what he said. If you are only flesh, then it's over. But we are more than that. Where is your spirit? Where is your soul? We know your body. The question is, how can we have consciousness of God? We know that on the outside are the senses. The only way to be with God, Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. In spirit means we have to go deep in the spirit. In the secret place, that's where we meet God. What is the secret place? The secret place is, don't go to heaven. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. That's to bring Jesus down. Don't go to the deep. That's to raise Jesus. The word is in your mouth. It is in your heart. Faith is here. In your heart. In your spirit. Deep within. That's the communication point. That's where the mystery dwells. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It sounds unreasonable to any intellectual person. But that's what the Christ has come to do. Naturally, you see Jesus as a mere man. as the Pharisees saw, that spiritually God is in him in fullness. He is not from this earth. He said it. I am not of this world. I came to this earth. I entered the world. I'm going back to my Father where I was. And he gave us clear words. And one day will happen when everything of this earth will pass away. The reality of Christ will come. Whether we believe in it, we like it or not. That's what the Bible says. That's why the Bible says we want everybody to be reconciled with God. Now, that relationship, we can see, has different levels. Deep, deeper, deepest in relationship. This is spirit. And the spirit is invisible, deep under here. We don't hear God with our ears, but with our spirit, with our heart. We need to enter deep. When Jesus calls you, we are called by God to seek the kingdom of God. It's the spiritual kingdom. It is deep within you. You have to go deep, deep to meet the kingdom of God here. It's not in the visible side. It is on the invisible, in the spirit. We will not find God on the outside. You find God within you here. This is where we worship God. When I say deep, the part of our human being that can enter deep is not our body, it's our spirit, called heart. That's why seek God and worship him with all your heart, with all your mind. Only your heart can enter deep. Only your spirit can enter deep. You can never be in the spirit in body, but in spirit you can, and in truth. God will call you. Everybody, many are called, few are chosen. He will call you to embrace the lifestyle of faith. Mean, when God calls you, he will make you fit and he will give you his glory. Called to embrace Jesus, justified by faith through the works of Christ, the salvation, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the glory of God. When this process is done and you receive the glory of God, you enter this side. This is what I call the counsel of God, the bedrock of revelation. Here, deeper side. Deep calls to deep. Here, when you enter this place, when the Holy Ghost comes, you become a friend of God. And you knock on the door shall be opened to you. That's what Jesus said. Do we want to stay here? Or do we want to go deeper? Or do we want to go to deepest relationship? Every person in the Bible, every person started here by a calling of God. They decided to forsake things and to embrace God's way and enter deep by faith. They go deeper in relationship. They meet God and their life changed forever. Okay, let me take the case of Abraham. Abraham was the man that lived on earth, according to the scriptures. Go and read Genesis chapter 12. He had a father called Terah. He lived on this earth. He was married. The wife was Sarah. Genesis chapter 12, God called this man called Abraham. His name was Abram. God said, I will change your life. I will call you Abraham, father of nation. And God made a promise to him. He said, leave your father, leave your country, and go to where I'm sending you. Abraham left everything and entered deep relationship with God. Deep relationship with God. Heart with God. Hearing from God, obeying God, walking the spirit. That's what Abraham did immediately. Abraham began to develop his relationship with God. How did we do that? When Jesus came and called the apostle, they left everything and they follow him. Luke chapter 9. He wants to follow me, carry your cross. The first step is to be called. Romans chapter 8, 27 to 29. Called, justified, glorified. These are the three steps of going deep with God. 1, 2, 3. We are all called to embrace Jesus. We heard the message of the gospel. Somebody preached to us. Or we come to the truth to embrace Jesus. Come to me, O you heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus is calling everyone to the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, where man can be reconciled with God, man can be forgiven, man can be restored, man can be recreated, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, eternal life, and have relationship with God in spirit and in truth, and begin to call God Father. Jesus said, for this to happen, Matthew 7, verse 7, you can read with me. What do you want Jesus to be for you? That is my question to you today. Do you want to see the hand of Jesus to heal you, to bless you, and you go back home? Or do you want to know much about him and to be like him, to follow him, to know his ways? Or do you want to have the mind and the heart of Jesus and become his friend? That's the relationship God is talking about. We have servant, we have disciples, and we have friends. We have people that follow Jesus to receive miracles. Thousands of people. They just wanted to see the hand of God. Miracles. These are the people that ask. Matthew 7. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. I want to choose to be part of those who knock for the door to be opened to me. Some are just asking for miracles, for healing, for blessing. That's enough for them. They go to church every Sunday. Some say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Christ. That's what the disciple did. And they begin to study the way, the Bible, to learn the ways of God. To learn his ways, to know God. Jesus said, you worship what you do not know. The Samaritan was just asking. You ask and never receive. Why? Because they don't know the way of God. So what Jesus said, Jesus called you to go deeper. Jesus called you to receive the justification by faith. Sins forgiven, you receive salvation and you become child of God here. And then you become disciples of Christ. You receive a new spirit, but that's not enough. Our natural human mind needs to be trained, to be disciplined, to focus on the things of God. That's what we talked about last Sunday. To be a disciple of Christ has to do with character, has to do with the message of Jesus, his kind of love, his kind of humility, love and respect to others. That's the character of Jesus we're talking about. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. That's the message of Christ. Disciple of Christ are those who want to be like him. Those who want to learn his ways. That's why you say, seek the kingdom of God. Disciples are those who seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness because they want to be like him. They go to church, but in the private, they have the Bible. They study the Bible. They study the word. They go deeper into relationship with God. They want to know more of God. Jesus said, go and make all nations disciples. And that is the heart of Christ. Not just to see my hand, but to learn my ways. Not disciple of a man. That's not what the Bible says. But disciple of Christ. To embrace his lifestyle, to be like Jesus. That's the meaning of Christian. Once we go deeper in relationship, we choose the justification by faith. And you want to be a disciple of Christ, to make the word the standard for your life. You want to be like him, to allow the word of God to channel your way, to read, to study, to meditate, and to apply the word of God that gives birth to faith, then you can seek the kingdom of God. You can seek eternal life. You can seek deeper relationship and his righteousness. You say, when you seek, you will find. When you find him, when the kingdom come, when the Holy Ghost come, you will enter deepest relationship here. Abraham was called by the Bible a friend of God. Friend of God. Here you can be a servant. But Jesus said, I don't call you to be servant anymore. You are my friend. Because everything I knew from the Father, I've shown you. Do you want to receive the fruit? Do you want to be a servant of God? Or do you want to be a friend of God? That's the question. Abraham became a friend of God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, God said, will I hide to Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham entered the counsel of God, meaning you enter the secret place of God where God will reveal his heart to you, his mind to you. He knew his way and God will reveal everything. God revealed to Abraham his plan of redemption, his plan of righteousness to the nations because he was a friend of God. Intimacy brings revelation. When you move closer to God, revelation will come. Intimacy will come, deep relationship where God will reveal so much to you. The prophets were closer to God. And Amos 3:7, God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servant, the prophet, because they enter here the counsel of God. What do we want? We want to stop here? Or do you want to be a disciple or a friend of God? It's up to you. What God wants is this side for everyone. This is what Jesus wants to everybody. But it depends on you. It depends on me. When Jesus called them, they left everything and began to follow Jesus. Yes, they were here. After they became his disciples, he taught them this way for a good 3.5 years. And Jesus began to send them on errand. They entered deeper relationship with Jesus. He taught them the secret of the kingdom of God, Matthew 13:16. He revealed them the secret. He told them after the crowd left, he began to teach them in the secret things of the kingdom of God here. Because the disciples were seeking the kingdom of God. They were seeking to be like Jesus. They were seeking righteousness. They were seeking the heavenly things. And they followed Jesus for everything. But one day, Jesus died and resurrected. At Pentecost, Jesus sent forth the Spirit. And they enter into the deepest relationship today. Peter and others became friends of God. They were so deep in relationship that Jesus said, whatever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose shall be loose in heaven. You are my friends because you have suffered with me. You have been with me from the very first beginning. They all started here. They were normal people, fishermen, farmers. They were called by God. They went in holiness until they became the apostles of all. Judah was called to be like them. But Judah didn't want to learn that he wasn't a disciple of Christ indeed. He never learned his way. He went away and betrayed Jesus and left. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 15 to 22, verse 17 says, he was part of this ministry, but he left it. Now whom are you going to choose to take his place? Verse 22, Peter said, let's choose someone who has been from the beginning with Jesus. Since the baptism of John to the day Jesus was taken away from them after the resurrection, somebody who went through all this process, somebody who was called, who learned and stood there to the very end to receive this grace and to become an apostle of Christ. Intimacy with Jesus. Intimacy with God. Moses was called by God one day at the burning bush. You know, Exodus chapter 3. He was a man like you and I. He has a father. He has a mother. God called him. And Moses said, Lord, what you call me to do? I can't do it. He resisted God. He was a shepherd. God has to reveal himself to him. God has begun to teach him his ways. He became more than a disciple. He learned the ways of God. That's Psalm 103, verse 7. In Exodus chapter 33, we said it last time. I said it again. He said to God, show me your ways so I may know you. I want to go to deeper relationship with you. I want to know your ways. I want to know your ways, Lord. Be with me. That was not enough. God showed him. He said, Lord, show me your glory. I want to enter here. Everybody knows that Moses was entering the tabernacle of meeting in the Holy of Holy. And Exodus 33, verse 11 said, God spoke to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses became a friend of God like Abraham because of relationship deep side. When Aaron and Mary were jealous and fighting Moses, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, God said, hey, why are you fighting my servant? If there is a prophet, I will reveal myself to you. But this one, Moses, he hears me face to face. He sees my form. He was the deepest side of relationship with God, Moses. Very, very deep. David was a shepherd boy. He was called. David learned the ways of God. Go and read the Psalms. He was very deep with God. He learned the way of God and became a man after God's own heart. Meaning he entered the secret place of God here. All the Psalms we read show the relationship, the fellowship of David with God, heart to heart with God, a man after God's own heart. Peter, a fisherman, we saw. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He abandoned everything and followed Jesus and began to learn the ways of Jesus, a disciple. To seek the kingdom of God, to learn the ways of God by following Jesus to the very end. And God revealing so much and God making one of the pillars of the church. And Peter entered the deeper side and became a friend of God, an apostle of Christ, deeper side. This God does not only want it for Abraham, for Moses, for David, for the apostle, but for every person who is born again. That's what Jesus said. That's why it seems so difficult to believe. And that's the truth. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater than these, he will do because I'm going to the Father. These are works of relationship. He said, if you abide in me, I abide in you. Whatever you ask, I'll be given to you. He who believes in me, you will ask and I will do. Relationship with God brings this to happen. You are called by God to learn his ways, to be a disciple of Christ, and to enter the deeper side of God. When you enter this place, here we ask, we use our mouth to speak to God. But here, your heart will talk to God in meditation, completely in the secret place here of God. No person can take you here. No school. What takes you here? It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Bible will take you here if you believe God. We have people that are prayer people, men and women, prayer warriors. They are here. They spend their time praying and fasting, glorifying God, and God revealed them dreams. God to speak his heart to them. It is a reality. God can reveal his heart and his mind to somebody who acts like a friend of God. That's what Jesus said. Christianity is all about relationship. Deep, deeper, deepest. Which one do you want? It's up to you. Jesus invites you to go to the deeper side. Come to me. That's his calling. He who believes in me will never thirst again. He who believes in me will never hunger again. Even the Samaritan woman said to her, Jesus wants to take her here. It's here. He said, woman, John chapter 4, verse 10, if you know who is talking to you, you ask me, and I will give you living waters. And the water I give you will become streams of living water welling up to eternal life. Jesus wants you and me to be here. That's why he gave us the Father's prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. I seek and find the kingdom of God here. Let your will be done. Give me my daily bread. Mean knock. And the daily bread is to hear the word of God daily, every single day of your life. This is what God wants. When you have intimacy with God, fellowship with God, you don't need to open your mouth. Your heart will pray without ceasing. And you will hear from God. He will lead you. He will guide you. You will hear his mind every single day. That's what Paul lived. That's what apostles lived. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They were led every single day by the word of God in their hearts. Christianity is all about relationship with God. It depends on you. God has played the role. Jesus has died to the cross. When you read Matthew chapter 27, from verse 51 to the end, you will see that Jesus, when he died, the veil of the temple was removed from top to bottom to give us free access to God. When you turn your spirit to Christ, the veil is taken away. Holy Spirit, what's the purpose of receiving Holy Spirit? I mean, God will dwell in you. You become the temple of God, the tabernacle. He lives in you, and Holy Spirit will lead you into the deepest side of relationship with God. The hope of glory will lead you to an intimate relationship with God. You will knock and the door shall be opened to you. You will know the meaning of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Does it seem impossible to you? But that's what God wants. He always asks us what is impossible for the flesh to do, so he can teach us how to be there. Today, it is possible. I have witnessed it. I have seen it. People that enter this side, where they can hear the mind of God. It is possible, my dear brothers and sisters. It happened by building a relationship with God with the help of the Holy Spirit, by reading your Bible, meditating, committing to God, and living that life of righteousness with God, step by step. Deep, deeper, deepest. This is the spiritual growth you are talking about. When you grow from deep to deeper to deepest relationship. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to God. You will be in the spirit, you will hear from God, and you will act faith, and you will see God. You pray, and your prayer will be answered. God is not the respecter of person. You don't need to be graduated from, I don't know, my Lord. It's grace. Age is not a criteria. Education is not a criteria. Humility is the criteria. when we approach God with a humble heart. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. These are the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, sons of God. This is what Jesus wants for you. This is what God wants. Intimacy with God. Relationship with God. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now you can see how we have been limiting God to the natural things. We only pray because we need money. We need house. We need healing. What about these things I'm talking about? Who thirsts for this? Who hungers for this? What do you want God to be for you? You want to see his hand? You will see the healing. You want to learn his ways to become his friends? And that's the difference. If you learn his ways, you enter the counsel of God. And it is possible to hear from him and to be led by him with full assurance of faith. In Jesus' name, I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you and I commit every single person to you, Lord. We are here for relationship in spirit and in truth. That's why Jesus came. The Bible says a sense of fatherhood produces a natural basis for prayer by your spirit. God has sent the spirit of his son in our heart, the spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. Lord, let your spirit lead us to a place of fellowship with you in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, remove the veil and ushers us into God's presence, into the counsel of God, where we can discern, where we can hear, where we can hear your voice. Take us to a place where Christ, our righteousness, will produce in our spirit, in our conscience, a sense of righteousness, sensitivity, to be able to enter the counsel of God, to have the mind of God, the mind of Christ, and to hear your voice, and to be led by the revelation of your spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Develop your relationship with God by reading your Bible, by meditating on it, by seeking the kingdom of God, seeking his righteousness. And when the time comes, you will enter the secret place.